Well, here we be once again. Nottingham, it's a joy, pleasure to be in your midst again here. It's Wednesday's Gospel Day, Good News Day, and it's good news. The Bible does say for all people, if you're a people, then it's good news for you. That is, that there's a Savior. His name is Jesus. God is love, the Bible says, and his name is Jesus. And he came into the world to save sinners. And that's the only qualification necessary to enter into a relationship with him. That is to be a sinner. And of course, well, if you're not, then I guess that would exclude you. But then you would be calling God a liar. And so then you would be a sinner, wouldn't you? So it's for you, whoever you are. Whatever you are, wherever you've been, however dark it's been, however lonely, however old, however young, however much you've been at the sin business, good news for you, Nottingham. Good news, Jesus, a Savior and a Lord, one whom we proclaim to you today, who would bring you into a knowledge and experience that is of God's love, his loving kindness, better than life itself, the Bible says, and it's true, and I speak from experience, loving kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is love, and this is what we're here about. God is love. His name is Jesus. Jesus is love, all over love. He's nothing but love. And in his love came into the world, lived and died on a cross, rose again from the dead, in order that you might know his everlasting love, in order that you might know everlasting life, in order that you might be saved from your sin, in order that you might be saved from the consequences of your sin, the outworking of it, the full final penalty, in order that you might be saved. Jesus is a Savior. We proclaim him to you today, make him known to you, in order that coming to him, trusting in him, loving him, adoring him, because he is Lord and God, and because he has declared his willingness to be reconciled with. That's his call to you today, Nottingham. Be reconciled to God, and you may, how? Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent into the world, came into the world. He's done the business. He's done everything necessary. Salvation, simply and only by reception, not by working, not by being religious, not by doing anything, nothing to do. Jesus has done it all. He's done the hard bit. He's did the living. He's done the dying. And he's done the rising from the dead. All that's required of you is that you should come to him. Faith, that is, trusting, believing in his name, him, his person, as he's revealed in the Bible, not the Jesus of men's imaginations, not even the Jesus of your world religions, but the one revealed here in the Bible that I hold in my hand. Here you can read about him. That's why we offer to you Bibles freely. Want to read about him, a New Testament. I got this here Gospel of John offered to you freely. It's a good place to begin if you've never read the Bible before, John's Gospel. Here you can read about the person of Jesus, who he is, what he is, what he came for, what he did and why, and what the implications of that are for you. such as John's Gospel, a Bible, a New Testament. Read, study, digest, meditate upon the person of Jesus and what he has done. What has he done? Came, lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead in order that a sinner like you might be reconciled to God. So you'd like to have a copy of God's written word, you come and ask for one. Gladly, freely, place into your hand. No cost, no obligation to you. None whatsoever. And if you have a question pertaining to these matters, then we would be more than happy to try and answer your questions for you. Not, of course, please, not... Don't come asking me questions, you know, about the existence of God, proof and evidence. I can't prove to you that God is. I don't need to, because you know that He is. You know that He is. You have a conscience within you that testifies with me here today that you have the knowledge of God in you. You have a conscience that testifies that you're a morally accountable creature. It approves of you when you do right and accuses you when you do wrong. Dogs, cats, elephants, tigers, lions don't have such as that. Only human beings. Why? Because human beings are made in the image of God. So every time you look in the mirror, each and every morning, there you see a man, a woman, made in the image of God, there right before you have all the evidence you need that God is. So you have no excuse. So don't come with those kind of questions. But if you want to know how to get saved, you want to know the way of salvation, the way of righteousness, the way back to God, then come and ask me. I will gladly, joyfully, delightfully answer such questions as that. How you might be saved. Then, of course, you like somebody to pray for you in trouble by your own making or somebody else's, distress, depressed, sick, ill, unwell, or perhaps maybe pray for you that that God would indeed save you, give you His Spirit, and draw you to His Son, Jesus, that you might be saved. If you'd like somebody to pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. So listen up, all you Nottingham sinners. Listen up. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Gave Him up to the death of the cross. Then whoever believes in Him, in His Son that is, in Jesus, the mighty Son of God, the almighty Son of God, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal and everlasting life. This is the gospel. God loves you. Christ is dead for you, available to you. Sacrifice for sin has been made once and for all. Never needs to be repeated. That blood that Jesus shed on the cross 2,000 years ago, still efficient, wonderfully efficient, I tell you, to cleanse, wash, make clean the vilest and the foulest sinners in the city of Nottingham today. In fact, I would say for every single one of them, room for you all, come one, come all, come, says Jesus. That's all, that's all. No religious hoops to jump through. No religious clothes to wear. No religious paraphernalia. You just come to me, says Jesus. The God of love, His name is Jesus. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. All the others you hear about, figments of men's imaginations. Jesus, God, manifested, revealed in the flesh, living and loving and dying, and rising again from the dead, and invites you, offers salvation to you here this afternoon, invites you into his kingdom of love and grace. Nothing but love here in Nottingham. Nothing but love. No hatred here. No hatred here. No condemnation from me. I don't condemn you. I don't judge you. I'm a sinner just like you. Come short of God's glory, filled every which way, up one side and down the other. Sinner just like you. Jesus himself said he did not come to condemn. He did not come to judge. He came to save. And he still does that now. And he's here today through myself and my colleague. He's here today. We are his ambassadors. And through us he pleads with you. Implores you, the Bible says. Well, the word is stronger, even stronger than that. Begs you in his love. Begs you to be reconciled to God. Receive his love, his favor, his grace, his forgiveness. The love, the light, the life, all that Jesus has for you, I tell you, beyond anything you could ever imagine. I can tell you about it, but you need to experience it for yourself. That's the only way. But I tell you the way here today, there's only one way. The Bible says, Jesus himself says it, I am, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, no one gets right with God, that is. And of course, well, we need making right. Why? Well, because we're not right to begin with. We're wrong in the head, we're wrong in the heart, we're wrong every which way, up one side and down the other. Every which way wrong, so far wrong. And of course, well, I don't know if you've noticed Nottingham, but you know, throughout the country, everywhere you turn, it's just getting worse by the day, it's growing. See, that's the trouble with sin, you know. It's not static, it develops, you know. There's an organic element to it, you know. It's growing all the time in a nation, you know, in a family, in an individual, in a person. It's developing all the time. The cup is filling up and filling up. But the problem is when the cup is full, well, that's when judgment comes. Whether it's a nation, a family, an individual, even the world itself is growing. Can't you see the insanity? Can you see, you know? Listen, you know, the things that are taking place in your own nation today, the utter and absolute insanity. Educated men and women, educated to the highest degree, and you listen to the insanity that's come out of their mouths, out of their fallen, sinful, wicked, evil hearts, and leading you as a nation into the insanity. And of course, if you haven't got there, if you haven't joined them yet, well then, you know, you're still able to see the insanity, then you're probably too frightened to open your mouth and speak out against it. So you see, sin, the cup's filling up, judgment is coming. That's why it's called salvation. That's why it's called saving. We need saving because there's something to be saved from. The insanity. The madness. The inexcusable madness of sin. That's what we need saving from. It's common to us all. Yourself, myself, every single one of us. It's in our hearts. It's in our DNA. We're conceived in it, says God. In your mother's womb, you know, that moment, that spark, you know, when you were conceived, that's where your sin career began. That's where it all started, the misery, the unhappiness that it brings upon you. You come into the world crying, and you go out of the world crying. a miserable sinner. Unless that is, of course, you come to Jesus. Unless that is, you be a recipient of God's love, saving love, that is. That's a love for all mankind, but he's got a saving love too. One that saves wretches, sinners, conceived in it, born in it, living it, dying in it. Unless that is by the grace, the kindness, the loving kindness of God, you're saved, salvation. It's saved, you know, saved from a danger. Somebody that needs savings in danger. And that's the entire human race. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a man, there's not a woman that does not sin. All have sinned, says God, and come short of the glorious standard. Well, that he set for us. And that's the standard, of course. Well, you can't keep your own standards up, can you? You can't meet your own requirements, can you? So how are you ever going to keep God's standard? Not even with grace in you can you do that unto perfection. No. Now we've all come short. You want to know what that standard is? Well, it's in the Bible. Exodus chapter 20. Give you a copy if you haven't got one. Ten Commandments, they're called. No other gods before me. God says, that's a call to faith, to trust in the one who's your maker, your lawgiver, your judge. And the one, of course, well, who today would be your savior, who would save you from the sin for which one day you're going to be judged. Because there's a fight if a man wants to die. Going to be your last, just like everybody else. Going to cock your toes up and go out of this world. And you go out the same way you come in, feet first. Naked you come into the world, naked you go out with nothing. Don't take the phone with you, don't take the laptop with you, don't take nothing with you. Just go out the same way you come in. Yes, of course that is, you've been born again. Yes, that is, of course, you've received God's nature of love. Unless that is, well, Jesus, he puts it this way. He says, unless a man's born again, he can't see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, can't enter the kingdom of God. He says, you must be born again. What does he mean? Born again physically? No. Spiritually, he's talking about. Born of the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, given the life, the risen life of Christ in you, God putting it in you and pouring his love into your heart by his Holy Spirit. That's what he means. You must be born again. And that's not being religious. You see, you can be religious. You can be a churchgoer even. And know nothing of these things. Nothing at all. No. Religion doesn't do it. Religion is bondage, it's slavery. The God of Islam, Allah, he wants you for a slave. Not for a friend. Not for a child. The gospel, and only the gospel. God's love. God is love, his name is Jesus. There's no other God but him. He wants your love. He wants your love. He wants you to love him. He needs your love. And he needs to love you. He needs to love you first before you can love him. But once you know his love, brought into his family, a family relationship, not slavery. That's religion. That's your world religion. That's all of them. Slavery, bondage. But the gospel invites you into a relationship with your maker, your lawgiver, your judge. He invites you into a relationship with him to be a father to you and you to be his child. And that for time and for eternity. That's the invitation. Nottingham sinners. So God invites you into That's what Jesus invites you into. That's what he came for, to accomplish. To change and transform you. Make you to be a child of God. How does a person become a child of God? Well, the Bible says he came. Jesus, that is, he came to his own people. But they didn't receive him. They rejected him, and they still do. And that's why they're in trouble now still, and always will be. Because they're just religious like the others. What's the difference between Israel and Gaza? Eh? Two different religions, but just religions, just the same. No love of God there. That's why they kill and fight one another. It's their religion, it's destructive. All it does is kill, kill, kill. But that's religion. The gospel of love, gospel of grace. God's loving kindness in Jesus Christ. He came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. But to those them that did receive him, to them he gave them the right, the authority to become children of God. Members of his family. God is your father, and you as his child, loved by him for time and for eternity, and cared for, and protected, and provided for. That's not religion. That's not religion. That's what you call the gospel. That's what you call good news. What I tell you is good news. It's the only good news that there is. It's the good news that the world needs. I mean, people come to me with that question, you know. I had it the other day, you know. What about Israel? What about Gaza? Well, what about them? Huh? Like people here are really concerned about them. Yeah, yeah. What does Israel need? What does Gaza need? What does the world need? It needs God's love. God so loved the world. Jesus so loved the world. Then he came and lived and loved and died. And rose again from the dead, conquered sin and death and hell, conquered that which causes the destruction, causes the violence. And how does he conquer it? He conquers it by love. He conquers a man or woman's heart and changes them. And no longer are they violent. No longer are they religious. They cast their religion aside. They cast their violence, they turn away from it. There's a man in the Bible, his name's Paul. He's one of the authors in the Bible, an apostle. And he says he was a violent, he was a religious man. He was religion on steroids. And he was violent with it. He went about killing people, having them killed. He says, I was a violent man, but, I obtained mercy, he said. God came to him in his love melting him, his love, and transformed him by the power of his love. That's the power in the gospel. None of that in religion. Man-made religion, there's none of that at all. It doesn't change people. It doesn't transform the violent. I ask you, I don't say this out of disrespect, I say this sincerely, but I ask you, you're a follower of Islam, tell me, where's Allah? Where's Allah when the violence starts? Where is he? Huh? Why can't he stop the violence? Why can't he stop the bombing and the killing? Why can't he stop it? Maybe he's gone on holiday, is he? Or maybe he's gone to take a leak. Where is he, I ask you? Why doesn't he stop the violence? He can't. It takes the power of love to do that. And the love that you find only in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. He's the God of love. And he takes hold of a man, a woman. He takes the violent. He takes the hate out of them. Because that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the sin problem. Hate God and hate your neighbor. That's you. That's you without Jesus. That's you without God's love. Hate God and hate your neighbor. That's the sum of it. Because the sum of God's commandments is Jesus says that you love God and you love your neighbour as yourself. Well, sin doesn't do that. Sin can't do that. Sin hates God, hates the neighbour. So what do? You go about killing your neighbour, violating your neighbour. You go about doing the adultery. You go about doing the unclean. Because you hate your neighbour. Yeah. Hating God and hating your neighbour. That's the sum and substance of it. And that's why we're faced with judgment. That's why your nation's falling apart. That's why my what?
Can I have a Bible?
I don't know, can you? Show us a Bible. So the great, have you noticed the great's gone out of Britain? England swings like a pendulum do, bobbing on bicycles two by two. You'd do well if you can fight two of them together. England doesn't swing any longer. We're going down the tubes at a great rate of knots, and there's one cause and one cause only. Sin. And all the politicians in the country, I tell you, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put England back together again. There's only one remedy, one cure, the gospel, God's love. God so loved the world, so loved England, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, die in their sin, but have everlasting life. One cure, one remedy, and God's given it to us, the medicine. You take the medicine, you get well. You go to a doctor, and he tells you you're sick, you're terminal. But he puts the medicine on the table in front of you. Take it, he says, and you get well. You get up, you walk out of surgery, and you leave the medicine sitting there on the table, and you die. Whose fault is it? You blame the doctor? You blame the pharmaceutical? You blame the medicine? What do you blame? Nobody's blamed but yours. You wouldn't take the medicine. So you perish, you die. Your own fault. You go out of this world unsaved. You go out of this world untreated. You go out of this world still in your sin. You might well do, but I tell you this, you don't go out unloved. There's one who loves you, Jesus. There's one who loves you and would save you, would redeem you, would cure you, would make you well. But you go out of this world unsaved. It's your own fault. It's because you wouldn't take the medicine. So like I say, you'd like a copy of God's Word. That was just the introduction. But you'd like a copy of God's Word. You come and ask for one and gladly place into your hands. So here God's Word for you today. Taken from the Old Testament. Today in Nottingham. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Why? Because it's the same as it always was. God's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. So his arm never changes. It's not shortened that can still save. His arm is mighty. His arm is almighty. Some people know that, you know. Without even thinking about it, there was a lady went past me just the other day, and she took God's name in vain. She was talking to her friend, and she heard me speaking, and she said, "God Almighty." Blasphemy. I said to her, I cried after, I said, "Madam, you're right, you're absolutely right. He is almighty. His arm is not shortened that can't save you, save me, save my money here." Huh? save us, do it to how you save anybody. Read the Bible. I urge you to. Give you a free copy. You read the Bible, see some of the characters, that God saved there. But we got the record, we got the testimony, and we got them in churches. You got them in churches in Nottingham. Men and women who are lost, broken, homeless, drug addicted, and alcohol addicted, and violent, and all kinds of broken creatures, Sad, it's so tragic, our hearts break for them. We're here for them, we're here for you. I'm not here to exercise my lungs. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I'm the love of Christ that brings me here. And His love for you that would save you. And so please don't question it, don't doubt it. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His arm is still almighty, all-powerful, and able, I tell you, to save the worst and the best of you. Anyway, you think yourself, well, you say that, Mr. Preacher Man, but if you knew me and you knew the things that I had done, you know what I've been about, you wouldn't be saying that to me. Yes, I would. Yes, I would, because there is no sin deeper than the grace of God and the love of God in Jesus Christ that cannot be forgiven. I tell you, you can't shock God. Maybe perhaps you would say to me, you would say, if I was to tell God about my sins, He would be shocked. He would not want to know me. Yes, He would. I know He wouldn't. You can't shock God. He knows anyway. He knows everything about you. He knows you're down sitting, you're up rising. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows everything about you. Every thought you ever had, every word you ever spoke, every deed you ever did. So you won't surprise God. You won't shock Him. He's not a religious prude. He's love. He's love. And He so loved you that He came into the world and gave Himself up to the death of the cross, suffered and bled and died on that cross so that you could be washed and made clean. So that in the love that He has for you, that you be transformed from the inside out, the heart, to put His love in your heart. Because nothing else will change you. All the religion in the world won't change you. All the religion in the world won't change you. Only, I tell you, the power of God's love, the love of Jesus Christ, that will change you. When you come to that place, you stand before the cross, before the cross where Jesus bled and died, and you look up and you see Him suffering, bleeding, dying, taking that forsakenness, that hell upon Himself, and you see Him, you begin to realize for the very first time in your life, He's there and He's doing that, He's suffering that for you a criminal, for you a sinner. I tell you, it can't help. Can't help but change you. That's the transforming power of God's love, and it hasn't changed because He hasn't changed. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save, because His arm hasn't changed either. It's still the same as ever it was and ever it shall be. And with that arm, no, it's not shortened, it's long. It's a long arm. It's a long arm, and it's able to reach, I tell you. It's able to reach into all the world, and it's doing so now. There are men and women in Afghanistan, in Gaza, in Israel, in Iraq, in Germany, in America, in the United Kingdom. There are people in all these countries God's arm is reaching and drawing by His love into His family and into His kingdom. His arm's not shortened. It's long. It's a long arm. And I tell you, it's long enough to reach into the depths of your sinful heart and take the sin out of it and put His love into it. Change you. Save you. Because that's what His arm does. That's what His arm does. It doesn't destroy. It doesn't destroy. It doesn't break. It puts them back together again. Puts them back together again. His arm is not short. It cannot save. Cannot save. Oh, it can. It can. Don't doubt it, but believe it. That's what you must do. All you must do. Believe it. If you can believe, says Jesus, everything is possible. Even your salvation, your forgiveness, your restoration, your transformation. Everything is possible to the one who believes. So cry out to Him, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And do it today, Nottingham sinners. While you may, while you still have the breath of life in you, because once that goes, once He's taken your last breath, it's too late then. Now you must do it while you can. While you have the breath of life in you, use it to call upon His name. Cry out to Him. God, be merciful. Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. They're both one and the same, you know. God, Jesus. No other God but Jesus Christ. He is God. He is the God. The God. The Savior. The Lord. Call upon His name today. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Or his ear dull that it cannot hear. His ear is not dull. I don't know how your hearing is today, Nottingham sinners. But God's hearing's okay. My wife, she's just had some hearing aids fitted. Her hearing is diminishing, it's going. Her ears are dull. She's not able to hear like she once did. She now has to have hearing aids. But God doesn't. God doesn't. His ears are not dull that they cannot hear. He'll hear the faintest cry, I tell you. Jesus. That's all. Cry out to Him. In your trouble, in your distress, in your loneliness, in your brokenness, whatever the problem is, it doesn't matter. You don't need an excuse. You got excuse enough. I mean, we've all got excuse enough. We're all sinners. Jesus, call upon His name. He'll hear you. And no matter where you are, you don't have to be in a church, a synagogue, a mosque. Wherever you are, He'll hear you. The depths of the sea, there's one man in the Bible, he was in the belly of a whale at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. And God heard his cry and saved him. Jonah, his name was. His ear is not dull that it cannot hear. He'll hear your cry. He'll hear your cry. He'll hear your why. He'll answer you. He might not answer your why, but he'll answer you in another way. Cry out to Him. Call upon His name. The Bible, I tell you, is replete. Read the book of Psalms, if you will. They're a great comfort to any human being. And read about men, read about people hurt, trouble, and distress of all kinds at their wits' end, like drunken sailors staggering about in a stormy sea. At their wits' end, and they cry out to him in their distress. And he comes to them and he saves them because he hears them, because there's a prayer answering God, that's why. He answers prayer. He answers the call of his creatures. Why? Because he's a God of love. Because he loves, that's why. And because he loves to save. Because he loves to answer. He loves to be called upon. He loves. He loves. That's why he's given us. That's why he's given us the Bible. That's why he tells us these things. That you might be saved, that you might call upon his name, that you might cry out to him. And he hear you and answer you and save you. That's why he's given us the Bible for, not to make us religious, but to bring us into this loving relationship with him, so that you can day by day talk to him along the way. Talking with your Maker. Knowing him, knowing your Maker as your Father, you as your child, and bringing your every need to him in prayer, because that's what he does and what he loves to do. Judgment is a strange work, the Bible says. Salvation he loves. That's why he loves, still loves this bad world, this broken world. Still loves it, still in God's Word, still here in the Bible. I'll show it to you if you want. If you don't believe me. He hasn't given up on it. He's going to make it new. He's going to make it all new again. And the only ones that will be in it then, when he's made it new and shiny, they're the only ones that will be in it then will be the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who are religious? No. Those who are good? No, because there's none good. Well, who will be in it, you say? The righteous, I say. Who are the righteous, you say? Those who believe in Jesus. Those who trust in Jesus. Because you come to Jesus, you look to Jesus, you confide in Jesus, you believe into Jesus, and he gives you his righteousness. And that's the righteousness that you need. We all need. Because we're all unrighteous, naturally. Born unrighteous, unholy, ungodly, separated from God. But there's a way back. And Jesus is his name. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Only through me, says Jesus, do you get the rightness, the righteousness of God. So when you stand before God in that day, stand before God in judgment in that day, as you must, as we all must. Friends, you need to be found within a righteousness not of your own. One that belongs to somebody else. One that belongs to Jesus. He who knew no sin, God made him sin for us on that cross, that we, you, might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then when God makes the world, the heaven and earth, new, all new and shiny again, then you'll be one of the inhabitants. But if you don't trust in him, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't get saved, if you don't call out to God, if he doesn't reach into your heart with his love, I tell you, you won't be in that new heaven and that new earth. You'll be in another place, a terrible and awful place. You'll be in that place the Bible calls hell, torment forever and ever and ever. Something to be saved from, nothing of sinners. Your sin and its consequences, the judgment, the hell, the damnation. And Jesus in his love, I tell you. Read it for yourself. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it for yourself and see. He, more than anybody else in all the Bible, speaks very graphically about that place called hell. Because he knows the reality of it. Because that's what he came to save people from in his love. And so, will he save you? Or will you die in your sin and go to that place called hell? What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, asked the question, what will you do with the Nottingham? Reject him? Crucify him all over again? Or will you trust in him? Will you have him to be your Savior, your Lord, your God and your friend, your Redeemer? Will you have him to rule over you in righteousness, in love and grace and power? His arm is not sharpened that it cannot save. His ear is not dull that he cannot hear. He hears you. He even hears your mutterings under your breath as you walk by. Or he hears it all. His hearing is perfect, believe me.
Excuse me, could you turn down a little? You're really dominating the street in a very unpleasant
way. No, no, madam. I'm speaking about God's love.
Yeah, but not everybody
is in the world. No, but they need to be. Oh, I don't think it, God does. Well, the minds need changing, and that's what I'm here for, dear. That's exactly what I'm here for. No, you're already against it, madam. You're already against it.
I have a spiritual belief.
Well, madam, if it's not in Jesus, if it's not in Jesus Christ crucified and risen, then you need to change it. Well, then you'll go to hell, madam. You'll go to hell, madam. Repent and believe the gospel, madam. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Mockers together, eh? Mockers together. Yeah, they were there under the cross too. Mockers and jeers. But there were those who were being saved. Gloriously, wonderfully saved by the power of God's love in Jesus Christ. I offer it to you today. Set it before you, Nottingham sinners. His arm is not sharpened that he cannot save. His ear is not dull that he cannot hear. Call upon his name, shall be saved. I offer Jesus to you today. Take him. Believe in his name. He'll give you the right, the authority to become children of God. Today, don't delay. Now is the time, says God. Only time you've got. You like to read about Jesus. You like to read about God's love. I've got Bibles, New Testaments. I got this here Gospel of John freely offered to you. Take, read, study, meditate, see for yourself what a glorious Savior he is. You like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. And if you got a question, feel free to ask it. And you would like somebody to pray for you, Nottingham, I would be more than happy to do that for you also. That God would save you, deliver you from the present wrath and from the wrath to come. Pray for you now, Nottingham. Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, I pray for the city of Nottingham that you would come and that rivers of living water would flow through these streets, that men and women be given ears to hear, hearts to believe, wills to obey your gospel, that they would repent and believe the gospel, trust in you, be saved. Bring them into your kingdom, Jesus, by your mighty, mighty, almighty right hand. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.